quorum's present. We have one small bill. We actually had a pretty decent conversation about it last night with those who were here. I think the gang are on the table. Senate file 235, Senator Latz. So we've had some discussion. There are a couple of people, I think Senator Bonoff, who wasn't here. I'm not sure about Senator Wieger. But if you want to proceed, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The first thing that I want to say, and I hope that the public is listening, is that the title of the bill that we are considering today is going to be amended.
Sir Lance, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's kind of dashing ahead.
I'm just getting worked up.
You're on a roll.
Exactly. Senator Stachak moves, or Senator Lance moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And then there's a committee engrossment that has been prepared. And Mr. Bowdens, if we could get it distributed. It's Committee Engrossment 3. It's being passed out. So let's, Sarah Latz, let's just wait 1 second until we have it distributed.
I'm just cold.
I wish I had an old lady. I had a moment here.
Oh, I'm okay. Because
I was
going to be Raymond Baird.
Wake up.
I'm good, thank you.
Right?
How are you doing?
Great.
Great.
Good.
Can you give me one of those while you're
Oh, thanks, Sam.
Okay. Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I first want to make sure that everyone who's watching and paying attention to this understands that the title of this bill is going to be amended when I offer my amendment, and it will not include the portion of the title that says modifying the lawful possession of firearms. Right, that provision I'm proposing to take out of the bill and to amend the title to delete it as well. I know that the presence of that title has caused some stir, shall we say, and some email activity. I know some members here have received it as well. And so let me tell you what I'm trying to do, and I'll put this in context, members. This Senate file 235 was the portion of the broader policy proposals relating to reducing gun violence that had a fiscal note accompanying it. And so the Judiciary Division, or Judiciary Committee, split out the pure policy provisions from the fiscal pieces and sent the fiscal pieces forward to the Finance Committee. It was heard in the Judiciary Finance Division. Committee report sent back up to full finance. That included basically three components. The one that gives the first line in the title, which was an expansion of the definition of crimes of violence to include felony strangulation, felony domestic assault, and felony fifth degree assault, and some juvenile adjudications of related areas. Okay. That was part of a larger package that had been introduced earlier in the session by me as the prosecutor's package. That still has some lack of consensus around whether or not it's appropriate to move forward with that in conjunction with other stuff. And I'm trying to deal right now only with things that I can find clear consensus on so that we can accomplish something important this year. So my amendment will remove that particular piece out of the bill that you have before you. So what will be left are the other two components. Those components have to do with filling the gaps in the existing databases through which applications for permits to transfer or own or carry firearms are screened. So no expansion at all of which transactions or which categories will be subject to background checks. Current law would remain in effect for that. But when the screening occurs, the database needs to be populated with sufficient data for that screening to be meaningful. In particular, right now, there are two major gaps. One is, and this will relate directly to a lot of the mass shootings that we have seen around the country, mental health civil commitment data. A lot of that data is not captured. It's not in a form electronically that can be utilized for any effective screening in our state databases, and it is not transmitted to the national database system, the NICS, National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So one of the provisions that's in this bill will provide the policy and the direction for going back to this data, which in Minnesota is from 1994 to 2008. It's that window that's not captured. Much of that data is in paper files. So it's a pretty extensive project to go back, go through the files, capture the data, electronify it, put it in a format that the courts can use, transmit it to the BCA, which keeps all this data for the state, and then be prepared to transmit it to the national system. The other piece is that there are certain juvenile proceedings that result in pretrial diversions, but proceedings which are for offenses that would, if they were convicted, would make them ineligible to possess firearms under current law. But the pretrial diversion information is not currently captured in our database system for the screening purposes. And similarly, there are certain gross misdemeanor convictions which are not captured. So another provision in this bill here would make sure that we capture and integrate that data into the BCA's system. And then the other pieces of this bill basically provide some details and mandates to make sure that the BCA collects the data, courts collect the data, they transmit it within 3 business days to the places it's supposed to be. And then the funding for this is approximately $1 million over the total of the bill. It's a one-time expenditure. There's no tail. It's already, the funding for it is already contained in the Omnibus Judiciary and Public Safety Budget Bill that's currently at conference committee, and it's already been passed out of this committee and off the Senate floor. So the funding is there and ready to use. If we don't use that funding this year, what will happen, and we have to have these policy provisions I'm proposing to you now, if we don't use it, that money is going to be used for other purposes. We probably will have a very difficult time coming back next year if we can even develop a consensus to do it and finding the money to do it next year. So I would like to offer the A11 amendment, which deletes the provision I promised I would delete, and then ask for your support for the bill.
Okay, if we could have the A11 amendment distributed. And so, Senator Lass, this is just the deletion of the one section. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So we haven't distributed, but it's a simple amendment. Senator Lass has explained it relative to removal of that section. So Senator Lass moves the A11 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
We don't even have the amendment.
I'm sorry, Senator Anderson. I thought you had it. Okay, let's if we could... I apologize. If we could reconsider the vote. I thought it had been distributed. So
I'll move to reconsider.
All right. So Senator Latz moves to reconsider the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Latz.
On page 5 of the Committee Engrossment 3, Section 8, you will see the subdivision 5 crime of violence. That continues on to page 6 and goes down to the effective date on line 23. That is the section that the A11 amendment proposes to delete. Move the A11 amendment.
Okay. All right. We have Senator Latz's motion in front of us. As everybody has the amendment, is there further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. A couple of members of that. Senator Latz, anything? I think you've gone through it fairly thoroughly. Questions from members? Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Latz, you talked about the heading of the bill. Is this amendment changed that as well or not? We had talked about that earlier.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, line 5 of the amendment says to amend the title accordingly. So that should delete the line in the title that has created some stir.
Mr. Chair, that would be modifying the lawful possession of firearms section of it.
That's my intent. I assume counsel can verify that that's the portion of the title that would be amended. Okay.
Mr. Bowden.
Mr. Chairman and members, if it would give you more comfort, you could certainly take care of that right now and just move to amend the title orally on page 1, line 2, deleting, modifying the lawful possession of firearms, semicolon.
So moved. Certainly that makes that motion. Is there discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stumpf.
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Latz, what is the intent? And I apologize for coming late, but what is the intent of the legislation?
Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman,
I think Senator Nino probably missed that as well. So.
Okay, no problem. The intent is to fill in the gaps in the existing database that is used to screen applications for permits to purchase or carry firearms and to screen purchases that are currently required by law to be screened through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So there is no expansion whatsoever of qualifying offenses or qualifying transactions or anything like that. No expansion of background checks in this bill at all. It is only filling in the gaps in the existing database, and the gaps are being filled with two main components: civil commitment mental health data going back from 1994 to 2008, which should help the system screen out those who have a significant court-adjudicated history of mental health issues, so that help prevent those individuals from possessing firearms. And also, there are certain crimes of violence that may end up in pretrial diversion programs for the juvenile system and other gross misdemeanors also that are not currently captured in the court's data system for these reporting purposes. And so we're capturing those as well. There's no new expansion of anything in this bill. It is just filling in the gaps in the existing database that's used for screening.
Mr. Chairman, just another question. Where do we have the $1 million?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stumpf. Senator Latz spoke to this a little bit earlier as well. When the Judiciary and Public Finance Bill, what was then just the Judiciary Bill, was processed through this committee, the committee carried appropriations for the fiscal impact of Senate File 235, and it was explicitly identified on the spreadsheet as such. This is not dissimilar from some of the issue that we wrestled with yesterday on Senator Dibble's bill relating to school safety, that the division had made the decisions about the amount of the fiscal note that was going to be paid for and the amount that was going to be internalized in the department's budget. Division has $800,000 for the 1994 to 2008 reach back, and then the integration project at $250,000. Senator Latz can correct me if I misstate that.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The fiscal note does include funding relating to the portion we just deleted because it had a small bed impact. And so that portion of the fiscal note will not be implemented. But those funds are also currently carried in the Judiciary and Public Safety Budget Conference Committee process.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Latz, could you tell me the thinking why your civil commitment look back in terms of going through the records begins all the way back in January 1st, 1994? And also, I'm looking for the words mental health in the document, and I don't see it. Is that because civil commitments is always a mental health issue?
Senator Latz.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonhoeff, yes, civil commitments are mental health commitments. That's the basis for the civil commitments that are addressed in this bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, I'm looking on line 8.8 on the original bill on page 8 that shows the January 1st, 1994.
Right. And so that deals with the civil commitments that are mental health type commitments. Or actually, I think it would also probably include chemical dependency commitments as well. People who have such a difficult problem that they have been adjudicated dependent by our courts and civilly committed to treatment. Okay, so counsel can probably correct me if I'm inaccurate, but I believe that term might capture that population as well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz,
stand corrected if I'm wrong.
My question was, what was the thinking in going back that far?
I'll explain that, but you had two questions. Okay. I want to make sure that was clear. Civil commitment, does that include just mental health or also chemical dependency commitments? It doesn't specify, so. Okay, well, Senate counsel can clarify for us.
Yeah.
Mr. Backus.
Mr. Chair, members, my understanding is I think it could include both. Generally speaking, we have been thinking about as mental health, but I think you could be committed as chemically dependent as well.
Okay.
Got it.
So that addresses civil commitment question. The look back to 1994, here's what I'm told happened, the civil commitment information, most of which is contained in paper files right now, but the information was sent over to the Department of Human Services because they kind of keep track of that stuff. And the idea was that they were going to report that to the NICS system, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. However, NICS could not accept any of that information because they won't take data that is not from the originating agency. And DHS was not the originating agency. But no one apparently kept track of this flow, so that was below the radar. And when we started looking into all of this stuff, we found that DHS had information, hadn't been transmitted, and they couldn't transmit it anyway. And it wasn't in the proper format because they couldn't do it, so they never put it in the right format. Mm-hmm. So we have to go back within the court system, find the data, put it in electronic format, and then be able to transmit it. And so from 2008 going forward, we have that information in the court system, but we don't back to 1994.
Thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Latz, so conceivably then somebody that I think the best example I can think of is a DUI situation is sent to treatment by a court, and if that had happened now, going back to 2008, they may have a firearm right now, and then would that firearm be taken away under this legislation?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Peterson, no, it would not. Court-ordered treatment as a part of a criminal sentence is a separate matter completely from the civil commitment process. There has to be a petition. I think it's a county attorney that initiates the civil commitment petitions, and then they have a whole separate hearing with doctor's testimony, and they have a court-ordered examination or evaluation of someone's situation. And if they determine that someone has such a florid problem with chemical dependency that they are essentially remanded to the custody of the state and forcibly put into an in-house residential treatment facility from which they are not free to leave until they complete the treatment program that's there. It's similar to a diagnosis with a major psychotic disorder, schizophrenia, for example, where they, again, they're incapable of taking care of themselves. They are committed to the custody of the state and put into treatment that way. That's different than a court order for probation that they must get treatment.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, do you have a sense for how many cases we're actually talking about, or how many applicants have fallen through these cracks that you're describing?
I don't know the numbers enough that it's going to cost about $800,000 to go back and capture all that data, but maybe someone from the courts has that level of knowledge on those numbers. I don't know.
Ms. Marshall?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Janet Marshall, and I'm with the State Court Administrator's Office. The numbers are in the fiscal note. We figure there's about 4,000 commitments a year, and to go back to 1994, it'll be about 67,000 records that we're going to have to retrieve.
Sarah Sieben.
Can you just explain why you're taking out the additional crimes and the crimes of violence?
Sarah Latz.
Seems like some of those are rather violent crimes.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, in a perfect world, I carried the bill and I introduced the bill that included that provision. I would love to see that become law as well. We're not in a perfect world here. We're working in an area that has very high emotional content, very strongly held feelings, and I'm trying to thread the needle here with the stuff that can just be clear, consensus, no controversy, and that as a part of the broader package, the provision you just referred to as a part of the broader package was still intermingled with the other discussions over the broader background checks and all that kind of stuff. So I was not able to separate that out from the rest, so I'm trying to move forward with just what I can get the consensus on. And I will say, Senator Sieben and I have had conversations with Senator Ingebrigtsen, with Senator Ortman, Senator Champion, and on the House side also with Representative Cornish and Representative Dill and Representative Paymar, and with a variety of the advocates, many of whom are sitting in this room here today, from the Sheriff's Association, the Chiefs Association, the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office, the MPPOA, and with Protect Minnesota as well. And I think that I have managed to get everyone to agree that this piece alone can move forward without controversy. And it's my intent to include this, assuming I can get agreement on it, in the Judiciary Conference Committee report, which is not amendable on the floor. So there won't be any room for anyone to try to take an extra run at some extra provision on the floor either. And so that's what I'm trying to accomplish. I wish I had a different answer for you, but I can't include that provision and make it happen this year.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the work that Senator Latz has done on this. Senator Sieben, you have a real good question there as to why we would eliminate that, and I think that's something that we need to look at moving forward. Preferably a little more piecemeal if we can, and I'm certainly willing to work on that in the future. And I think leadership has made it clear that there'd be no gun legislation coming forward, and that was included in it, and that's what kind of muddied up the water. So I appreciate what the Senator's doing here. My question would be, it's been a while now since I thought about that question. I could pass for right now, but I do have one. If nobody else has one, I'll make something up.
I'll make up the answer too.
A lot of time. Chair, I'll ask a question.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last night, getting home about 10 o'clock, all of a sudden I'm getting myself ready to bed, and I've got 18 emails on my phone, and four of them are saying, don't vote for this gun legislation. Why are the Democrats going back on their word, saying they weren't going to bring this forward? Vote no. Please don't let them fool you into believing that this is a good bill. So tell me, confirm with me that this is a good bill and that's not going to be bringing forward this gun legislation that these people are so afraid about in my country.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, the provision that we just deleted from the bill is the provision that has caused that consternation. It had to do with, frankly, a lack of understanding of what my proposal was, and probably an old draft that had been circulated that ended up causing the stir. I think you got the email from the Gun Owner Civil Rights Alliance, and I have with me the president of that alliance, Professor Olson, who can address that point directly.
Professor Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, thank you very much for allowing me to be here. Yes, I was called down to the Capitol yesterday at about 3 p.m. I was handed a proposal, which it turns out was not the proposal that Senator Latz is now going with. And we were, in fact, reading over the bills, comparing them, trying to figure out something to do, when our newsletter chairman jumped the gun. It happens. It happens in every organization there is.
Jump the gun. Professor Olson, interesting turn of phrase, but go ahead.
Well, you know, it's a turn of phrase that's been with America since the very beginning. It's virtually impossible to get the firearms terminology out of the American language. But back to the bill, I have been working with Senator Latz. He's been listening to what we've had to say, you know, we are. I'm here to say that we have absolutely no objections to the bill as it's being amended, which would be into the form of the E3 amendment. You know, things happen.
Okay. Thank you, Professor.
Mr. Chairman, I'm hopeful that Professor Olson will prevail upon the publications chairman once this is ready for floor action to send out an email encouraging members to vote for it, since it's a provisions that they support.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned earlier, Senator Latz, that if we didn't get this legislation in this year, that probably next year or the year after, we would probably not have another chance to get the policy language in statute. And I see in your bill, in the fiscal note, there are assumptions here. And I recall on the floor, or was it maybe in committee, that we had tried to put an amendment on to give more money to the BCA, and that was turned back because for whatever reason you didn't think the BCA needed any more money. And here we're giving more money, and under these assumptions, we don't even know if the BCA can handle this, even with the $1 million that you're going to be giving them, because it's being assumed that the courts, it's being assumed that all probation agencies can, it's being assumed that the correctional facilities can. These are all assumptions. What's the guarantee that this is going to work?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, I think that what you're referring to in terms of the BCA system are provisions that were in the public safety, transportation and public safety omnibus bill that were to fund the criminal history and criminal reporting system, that basically the computer upgrades at the BCA. And I understand. Senator Anderson, I hope that's what you're referring to. That's what I'm interpreting your question as referring to. That funding, that budget line is now, because public safety got split up into two different conference committees, I've got that budget line now in the Judiciary and Public Safety Conference Committee. The House did fund $8.5 million of the $10 million request for that those computer programming and technology upgrades. The Senate did not, and the reason the Senate did not is because the method by which the House funded it was mostly a transfer from an unrelated special revenue fund in driver and vehicle services. And so there was objection to utilizing those funds for the purposes that you have just referred to. At this point in our conference committee report, we have overcome or dealt with those objections, and both House and Senate have agreed to the position to fund the $8.5 million of the $10 million request from the BCA, and I would anticipate that the remaining $1.5 million will be taken care of in the next budget. It's a four-year project, so they can, my understanding is they can move forward with the $8.5 million piece of the funding, and we can pick up the rest of it in the next biennium. So they'll be able to handle it, I guess is my point.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But Senator Latz, earlier you said that you weren't sure whether they could do this work in this coming year, and that we needed to get this language in there. What makes you think that it's going to happen next year?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, I think perhaps either I misspoke or you misunderstood what I intended to convey. This is a budget year. It's a two-year budget cycle. I've got money right now in the judiciary budget to pay for what's in front of us. If we don't include this in the judiciary budget this year, that money is going to be used for some other purpose. Next year is not a budget year. We may not have any money next year to utilize for any purpose, and this may not be something that people desire to fund next year, even if we have the money for it. So what I know now is I can fund this right now, and that it's a consensus priority across the spectrum of people concerned about the issue, particularly of guns falling into the hands of those with mental health, severe mental health issues as adjudicated by the court.
Mr. Chair.
Senators.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, with the projected $3 billion increase in taxes and fees and all the other things that you guys are proposing, I'm sure you're going to have $1 million next year.
Further questions? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, if I understood Senator Latz right and Mr. Nauman, that in this fiscal note here is also included the potential bed count for the part of the bill that now has been removed. Is that correct? And how much would that be roughly? I guess I'm looking. I can't.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm going to have to look that up quickly unless Mr. Turner knows it off the top of his head.
I think it may be page 3.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, as I read the fiscal note, the costs associated with that provision were $24,000 in fiscal 15, $88,000 in 16, $191,000 in 17. And indeed, I did have a chance to visit with Mr. Turner about this in advance, and he identified that particular line item as one that was removed from the bill on the fiscal note.
So that will be removed. Mr. Chair, just a follow-up question. I got all kinds of them now. I just happened to think of a bunch. Mr. Chair,
you're not making this up now.
No, Senator Latz. I think for the information for members, this is not going to alter in any way the mechanism that's in place for someone who is committed or has been committed in the past and under current law can actually get that. I guess I don't know if the word is expunged or removed. So they do have, once again, the constitutional right to possess a firearm. Is that correct? This doesn't alter any of that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have a roll call.
Oh, okay. Senator Latz, I'm not sure you've moved the bill, but Senator Latz moves that Senate File 235 as amended be recommended to pass. Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, and if this was asked, I'll recant. But what I gathered from the process is we're going to pass this to the floor. This bill in this shape would go on the floor with no amendments in order to pass one body, and then your plan would be to bring it into conference committee to bring it back for final passage. Is that kind of the process?
Mr. Chairman, it is indeed my intent to bring it into the conference committee. I think it's still something of an open question whether once we get this to the floor of the Senate, whether we're going to have a need to pass it off of the Senate floor to establish a full Senate position on it, or whether the Senate will be comfortable with it residing on general orders and just coming through the full Senate for consideration as a part of the conference committee report. But either way, the full Senate will have an opportunity to vote on the provision.
Okay. Further questions for Senator Latz? If not,
well, Mr. Chairman,
Sir Westrom,
just to that point, I know things get added in the conference committee, but my assumption would be this would be enough of a change or policy that likely would need a floor vote before conference committees can just add new language. But I guess that's something we can discuss a little further.
Okay. We have Senator Latz's motion that Senate File 235 has been recommended to pass. Request for roll call. The clerk will call the roll. Chairman votes yes.
Anderson.
No.
Bonoff. Champion.
Yes.
Dibble.
Yes.
Fishbach.
Yes.
Goodwin.
Yes.
Ingebrigtsen.
Yes.
Latz.
Yes.
Limmer. Lori. Miller.
Yes.
Newman. Nino.
Yes.
Pappas. Peterson.
No.
Saxog.
Yes.
Sieben.
Yes.
Stump.
Yes.
Tomasoni. Westrom.
Yes.
Uyghur.
Yes.
Bonoff. Limmer. Lori. Newman. Pappas.
Aye.
Tomasoni.
Okay, so on a vote of 15 to 2, the motion is adopted. Members, that concludes the agenda and hopefully the committee for the year. So thank you very much to members and staff and members who came in later. Senator Miller chastised me last night, said if we met today, I'd have to bring food. So there are rolls and juice in my office for those who came later.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if it was a chastise, but thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Fishbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, meeting's adjourned.